it's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, where for the past 5.5 years now, I have been bringing guests on to explain the complexity of who we are as human beings. So in order to live our best life, which is what I talk about a lot on the show, we need to keep in balance the fact that we are intellectual or mental, and many of us spend 95% of our time there, which I don't highly recommend. I think you need to get into your heart center on a regular basis and use your intuition. But we are intellectual beings. We are spiritual beings. We are emotional beings for sure. And we're physical beings. And if you don't have your physical health, it's going to be extremely difficult to come up with the other three. So we kind of start there as a platform. And if you go to my website, which is synergyconnectionradio.com, all 400 plus shows are located there. But also you'll see a link into Boomers Forever Young. And I've been using their products for over 7 years now. I know that it is one of the major reasons that I stay so healthy. And I was explaining to Trey before we started recording, I fractured my left shoulder back in November. And I am so far ahead of the game in terms of, you know, having almost complete mobility back. My doctors have said I'm a total anomaly on that regard. But I also know it's because I was healthy when the accident took place. And that makes a big difference. So if you're starting from a foundation of health and complications arise, you have a much better chance of coming out ahead of the game as I have. So check out their products. We have a new one called Myotrol. And Myotrol, you cannot get anyplace else. It's Myotrol. It actually is being shipped to the company from the Denver area. But Myotrol is a combination of FDA-approved, you know, vitamins, nutritions, but it's put together for the first time in this way. And people that are using it are coming back with remarkable stories of stamina, endurance, energy, mental clarity, all of those things. And it looks kind of like an omega-3 capsule. And I started using it a couple months ago. And it is truly a remarkable, I would say, game changer for a great many people. So you might want to check out the Myotrol. They're getting a large shipment in at the beginning of June now. The company sold out in like one day of the first shipment. And we had no idea as a company, you know, that it would take off the way it has. If you do decide to order anything on their website, if you just put my first name, L-U-C-Y, in the discount box, you'll be able to get 15% off of your order. All right. So Trey is joining me again. And Trey and I have been friends for, I have to go back a ways, but I think we've known each other and been friends for maybe 12 years now, maybe longer.
I think it's close to that. Yeah. I think it's close to that.
It's been a long time. Uh-huh. And one of my most favorite memories is that road trip that we did, you know, together. Sure. Out to Denver, actually. And now You're living out in Denver again. So that is pretty cool.
It is.
We're going to be talking this morning about healing a traumatized society. And I read a lot of your notes before, doing the show. And I totally, totally agree that we had trauma before COVID, but it has been just an onslaught of trauma since 2020. And here we are, you know, almost to the middle of 2024, and it doesn't stop. And I was sharing this with somebody earlier this morning and just saying, you know, I mean, with COVID, you had isolation, you had death, you had ongoing, problems as a result of taking COVID shots. So many of the people that I know have AFib now, or they have other kinds of illnesses. And there is some direct linkage they're finding, you know, from the COVID shots, especially if they had more than two
Right.
Some of the boosters. So we've got that. We've got wars all over the place. We have financial issues. We have, like down here, there's 1,000 people a day moving into Florida, has been for a number of years now. But I mean, the road rage that is out on the highways is significant, and people chasing each other and getting out of cars and having fights on the side of the road. So I don't know what you see in Denver, but this is everywhere.
Well, it is interesting. And Lucy, you teed it up perfectly. From my vantage point, and I've been in the traumatology world for about 26 years. So let me lay a bit of foundation. In the early stages of my career, we used to look at people who had been traumatized, whether it was witnessing a murder or being held at gunpoint or being a part, whatever the trauma was. And we used a basic hierarchy to determine the traumatic experience that people were living with. And that would show us the level of magnitude or the level of impact, if you will, that that trauma was, that trauma had on that person or could potentially have on that person. Now, let me begin with that because just 15 years ago, this trauma scale really worked quite nicely. On the very bottom of the scale, you're aware of death and destruction and loss. At the top of the scale, you survive by freak circumstances. You've seen death. So there's a continuum there. And so about 7 years ago, I started thinking to myself, why are people beginning to act so crazy? Right? Because ultimately, we saw things like insanity in politics, insanity in healthcare. There was just illogical, irrational behaviors across the board in lots and lots of places. On the surface level, we look at that, we say, oh, we're just all separating, or there's division in society, or we can't coexist, or, I don't believe like you believe, or you don't, whatever it may be. That's all on a superficial level. What's really going on is that because we are creatures that demand the ability to survive, we have innate within us certain trauma responses to deal with anxiety, fear, uncertainty, powerlessness, etc. Right? Now, you've heard of the whole fight, flight, or flee process that the brain goes through. And I don't want to get all nerded out on you, but when someone is experiencing something that they perceive as threatening, sight, smell, taste, touch, hearing, etc., all of our senses, if we perceive something, our body kicks into automatic response, and we're going to do one of four things. We're going to fight. Now, as I lay these out for you, I want you to think about what we've seen from a sociocultural standpoint. We're going to fight. We're going to flee. We're going to freeze and just bury our heads in the sand, or we're going to flop. Flop is playing dead. So, are we going to run? Are we going to, you see what we do? Now, what people don't understand about that basic trauma response is that the average person can live with that fight or flight response at any given time. It takes about 24 hours. The body regulates, everything is good. But when a person has ongoing trauma, layers and layers and layers and layers of witnessing something or feeling threatened or having their rights taken away or being witnessing a war, whatever it may be, there's a cumulative effect. And when that cumulative effect occurs, some very fascinating things happen with people. First of all, we stop seeing each other as human beings and we start othering. She's a threat. He's a threat. They don't think like me. They don't look like me. So this whole process of othering is actually neurophysiological. We have to be able to quickly identify who the threat is. So that's the first thing people do when they're stressed with trauma or strained with trauma. The second thing we do is we become hypervigilant, hyper-aware, and hyper-diligent in how we do things and how we orchestrate our lives. Let me say it differently. We become more rigid, more controlling, and more resolute, if you will, on what we think and believe. The third thing that happens is that we lose the ability to be rational, logical, compassionate, and thoughtful. This is the scary part for me. Now, let me liken that to some of the things that we've seen just to put it into context. And before I dive into the list of things that have been traumatized, what I want us to think about is as human beings, we need certain psychological anchors to live within society. Social norms, for instance, how you dress, how you act, how you wear your hair, where you go, what you say, you don't run down Fifth Avenue with no clothes on, screaming like a lunatic. That's a social norm, right? Even though I'd like to sometimes. This in these anchors, so there's social norming, but there's also trust in certain establishments, certain institutions. For instance, growing up, and you're a tiny bit older than me, but as kids, we were taught that we could trust the people in government. We were taught that our politicians had our best interest in mind. We were taught that police and policing bodies were to protect and serve. We were taught that education was a place where you could go and allow your mind to be expanded. We were taught that our world was safe and that we were impervious to war. Do you remember hiding under a desk for threat of nuclear war, which is so insane? Maybe I just did that, but we were taught that religion played a role in society, that the three branches of government actually functioned, that family was something that we could rely on, that your neighbors were people you could trust, that the Supreme Court was honest and had integrity, that healthcare was doing the right thing for us, and that, you see here?
Yeah, I mean,
And
we were
what
taught every one of those things.
100%. And just in the last 10 or 12 years, there's been an acceleration of basically all these anchors that we hang to, psychological anchors, are now being disintegrated right in front of our eyes.
Oh, well, I think they're being ripped away. I
Stripped
think it's
away,
not even a matter of
100%.
disintegration anymore. As you turn on the news and there's one more that's gone, because now you're finding out that that wasn't true after all.
Well, and ultimately, I think what's happening in terms of trauma is just over the last, and I won't pinpoint one political party or perspective because this isn't about politics. This is about having a bigger perspective on how we've been destabilized and what these anchors, the loss of these anchors really mean. When a person has lost the ability to anchor to things socially, then they go within and they become more rigid, more demanding, more controlling, more polarizing. Their belief structures take a greater sense of hold and they lose the ability to say, I'm not quite sure if I agree with that, but we can still coexist and have a beautiful life together, right? And the greater the fear, the greater the loss of these anchor points, the more rigid, demanding, controlling, divisive. We run to the things that make us feel comfortable, right? So let me give you some examples. Now, when you look at the COVID-19 pandemic, what I love, I was joking with some friends the other day. Do you remember early on we were watching the John Hopkins where they were showing the trending around the country and there was the map and you'd see these red dots and I would watch that thing in terror, watching millions of people, but it wasn't so much about watching where the infection was going or the pandemic was moving. It was more thinking, okay, there's 1,000 new cases in that area. What are the ripple effects? 5,000 people connected to those 1,000 people, strain
Exactly.
in healthcare systems, demand on nurses and care providers, straining on EMS systems. All of that ripples out, and those are all traumatizing elements. When I look at seeing images of morgues that were built temporarily in parking lots, that is not something that we as human beings are equipped. We can handle it if we see it, but we're not equipped to live with it over and over and over and over and over, right? Now I look at in May of 2020, the George Floyd circumstance, the murder of George Floyd, frankly, and how firsthand, we were watching the life taken out of a human being as we watched it on TV.
Isn't that crazy to think
That's
of, though?
insane. It's so, to take a normal person and say, I'm gonna put you in a situation where you watch the life taken out of someone's body. None of us would do that.
Exactly.
Yet we experienced it, and then it was sensationalized, and then it became a flashpoint for all sorts of protests, which create greater social fear. And I'm not saying any of this was wrong. I'm just saying that with George Floyd, and then the 2020 presidential election, and then the threat of voter integrity, and then in 22, Roe versus Wade being turned. But here's the thing: when you look at homelessness, food insecurity, economic instability, rioting, rights being taken away, certain populations, transgender, LGBTQIA, BIPOC people being stripped of their rights. And then on top of that, something as simple as today, the governor of Florida signed into legislation basically to strip away all mention of climate in the legislative conversations related to Florida and energy. So you cannot, in Florida, we're not now thinking about climate, we're thinking about big oil and gas. It's crazy. Anyway, all of that, and I promise that I'm going to get to what we really want to know, and that is, what do we do about this? But
Right.
all of this has been layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. It's even as simple as watching Will Smith slap someone at the Academy Awards. We're seeing the degradation of humanity. And as a result, road rage is on the rise, substance use is on the rise, domestic violence is on the rise, social division is on the rise. And people, as you've noticed, are polarizing more with their absolutes rather than coming to the table and saying, how can we learn from each other? How can we be curious? How can we? And ultimately, what's happening, I believe, is that the average American, at least, I can't speak for the world, but the average American is living with a low to mid-grade fight or flight that is constantly activated in their body. They're isolating more, they're locking down, they're trying to numb their pain away, their relationships are strained, they're becoming more fear-based. And on top of that, we're being spoon-fed everything we need to paralyze ourselves.
Right. And when you're talking about constant release of cortisol, you end up with a condition called adrenal fatigue.
At
And
100%.
that impacts your physical health for the rest of your life. There isn't a real good comeback by the time you get diagnosed with adrenal fatigue.
That's exactly right. And adrenal fatigue is the bad case scenario,
Right.
but when we look at studies around cardiac care and blood pressure and all the other things that we are concerned about as human beings, people can deal with flashpoints of stress, and they can even deal with just a low-grade stress all the time. People cannot, in a healthy way, deal with cataclysmic event, cataclysmic, cataclysmic, over and over and over and over.
And look what it's doing to our children, because my daughter-in-law, she is a preschool teacher. She was a kindergarten teacher, and she actually resigned from her school a couple of years ago now because of the stress she was under perpetually. Part of it started during the pandemic when everybody was sent home and you were having to do everything online with kiddos. And so they don't, especially at a young age, get socialization skills. They don't learn how to control their impulsivity. There's so many, factors that happen in a preschool and kindergarten classroom that
Sure.
could not take place. So what kind of adults are we going to have someday from these kids that were not in the classroom in 2020, 2021, 2022? Even, some of them. I don't know what that's going to look like.
Well, I can guarantee you that kids learn how to regulate themselves emotionally by judging face, face to face, interacting, connecting, reading emotions. You put a mask on, you put them behind a computer screen, and you isolate them. It's a kiss of death that is
And
messing these
you know
kids up.
what was going on in their homes while all of this was happening too. So, I mean, financially, a lot of their parents lost their jobs, or one of the parent lost their jobs. They had no daycare to go to with kids. I mean, there were so many things that all fed into what we're experiencing today.
Absolutely. And when you think about, you made a good point, Lucy. All of this stuff that's traumatizing society is also predicated, or the reactions that people have are predicated on their history of trauma, how they deal with anxiety, how they manage their depression, did they have substance issues before? And if there is a pile of that in a person's life, current trauma is going to exacerbate it. We're going to turn to the things that we think are going to calm us down and make us feel good. And what concerns me most is, for instance, there is a higher rate of familial estrangement now than we've ever seen in society. Now, that does not mean there are more parents that are not getting along with their kids. That means two very clear sets of ways of living in the world conflicting, and people saying, I don't want anything to do with you, rather than let's see how we can figure this out.
Exactly.
Right? Now,
So
that,
what are some of the things that we can, in the few minutes we have left, what are some of the things that we can begin to say, is there a way to change the dynamics a little bit? We're not going to change everything because that's really an impossibility, given today's state of affairs.
Well, I think first and foremost, in order to really resolve that traumatizing effect in the body, you must turn it off. You have to turn the influences off. So if you are like me and you literally pick up the phone every day and say to yourself, I need to see if the world is still okay, stop doing that. I think in addition to that, realizing that the media does not care about the emotional state of people. The media cares about selling newspapers or TV or clicks or whatever it may be.
Exactly.
So
So the worst
that's the
case
first
story
thing.
is their best one.
Absolutely. So I say, first of all, disconnect. And that's maybe the most difficult thing because we are seeking information as a way of reinforcing what we already we're looking. It's called confirmation bias. We're looking for evidence to show that we're safe. And it's not about finding evidence to show that you're safe. It's about becoming comfortable in situations where you feel unsafe. That's the key. Okay. The second thing I think people should do is social media. Now, I used to be a big fan of social media. Now I single-handedly think it is the single greatest neurochemical influence that we've seen in our time. Now, let me put that in a more direct way. Social media is the equivalent to heroin. And if you start using it, eventually, your body will respond just like you had been injecting heroin. Now, parents don't realize that, and people don't understand the little bit of doom scrolling, but it's not only highly addictive from a neurochemical standpoint, but it's socially abusive. And what social media has done is highlighted the inflammatory nature of life, shown the craziness in the world, and also in just in this incredibly odd way, made us think that there's a life better than what we're living right here now. Somebody else has a life we can strive toward. We have
Yeah,
to
TikTok has
reground
done
in
that
trial,
really well.
right? Now, I think the third thing is, and it's so interesting because of all the people I work with, if you have past trauma, you need to deal with it. And if you don't deal with it, it's going to still rear its ugly head. Now, I have some workshops and printed materials and different things that are helpful. But whatever a person needs to do, if they've had trauma, they need to get it addressed. And that's really looking at it, making meaning out of it, putting it where it goes, and getting on with your life. Aside from that, I think that people should develop a practice of grounding. And we've talked about this a number of times, but what is your routine and structure, first of all? And I think that routine and structure actually really help us, right? Second of all, what are you putting in the body and how is that going to affect you? So if you think that by smoking a little bit weed or having that extra glass of wine at night is just calming you down, it is calming you down. It's also changing the way your body responds to stress, and it's actually making it so that you won't respond to stress quite as well. Okay. A grounding practice would be your structure and ritual, your schedule, and holding ourselves to a schedule. When we have loosey-goosey time, we have, sorry, no pun intended, loosey-goosey time.
I
We have the ability to let our minds run wild. And so keep yourself busy. Do things with your hands. Get out into nature. Take your shoes off. Walk on the grass. Develop a practice where you're doing guided visualizations every night before you go to bed to calm your system down. Watch what you're putting in terms of caffeine, alcohol, and other substances. Sugar is the worst. All of it's fueling that stuff. You know this stuff. And do something that allows you to go inward and to embrace the idea. Well, I'll give you an example. I'll often lead people that I'm working with through a guided visualization. And in that process, I have them repeat after me. I say, I'm safe. I'm safe. I'm secure. I'm happy. I'm loved. I'm capable. I'm safe. I'm secure. I'm capable. I'm loved. I'm functional. I'm happy. Because you see, in the way we create neural pathways, if we proclaim it, the neural pathways are already lining up around that belief. So instead of, oh my God, what's happening today and the world's going to fall apart, and there might be a porn star attached with some hush money somewhere or a war somewhere, whatever it may be that's distracting us today, instead we say, breathing inward, holding it, being aware of the breath, grounding yourself in your activities, being aware of the sensory experiences that you live with right now. For instance, turn off the loud noises. Turn down the music. Stop watching the violent films. Stop watching war on TV. Don't watch political dramas. Don't watch. Well, when you do what I've just said, you might as well just get rid of all your streaming services because that's the content they're feeding us right now.
You know what? It's so fascinating you say that because I don't watch much television per se. I do have Roku and I have things that are feel good, movies or something like that. I just watched one that Wahlberg, he just did a new movie with Arthur the dog.
Oh yeah, sure.
And it is just such a feel-good movie. I mean, you think at the end, oh my God, he's going to have to put this dog down. But then you see them, they're in Colorado, and the dog is jumping all around and very happy and healthy. And, you know, it's got a beautiful ending. So, right before the Kentucky Derby, I pulled up the old Secretariat movie because I try to watch those, you know, before Derby time because I love horses. And I don't watch anything that's on television anymore because it's either fifth grade level, unless you're on PBS, and then, you know, they're trying to get money from you all the time. But I'll pick something that is a Roku movie. Maybe it's through Prime, maybe it's through Plex, where my son puts a lot of movies for me. But it's something that at the end of the movie, I have a feel good sensation. And if that's how I'm going to bed at the end of the day, that's what I want. I don't want going to bed being unnerved because I've watched something with a lot of violence.
100%. Yeah. You know, I feel like the way we should be looking at this is that a traumatized society has an elevated sensory experience, right? Let me read a definition of trauma that I think is more apropos. Trauma is a sensorial blow to the human brain that evokes a physical and emotional reaction for the sake of human adaptation to threat, fear, hopelessness, helplessness, and terror. Trauma is an acute or chronic aberration to safe daily routine and function. Now, what that really says is when you are traumatized, your senses are attacked. There's a great deal of sensory input. To heal from trauma, we must calm those same senses. Now, for instance, with the sense of smell, I use lavender throughout the day. I use Yingling, Ling Ling, orange, citrus, any type of flavor scent that's going to have a calming or an energizing effect, because the aromatherapy actually taps into that part of your brain and it will allow you physiologically, it brings about a sense of calm faster. Okay. In my office, I do not have bright fluorescent lights. I have yellow lights or blue lights because they're calming, right? In the temperature of my home, it's set at a certain temperature, and I don't allow fluctuations with the physical temperature. With what I'm putting in my brain or in my body, I'm watching that at any given time. I'm also encouraging people to do things that allow for movement, flow, body activation, release of stress. You've got to get that cortisol out of your body, so to speak, right? Now, the million-dollar question is, what are we going to do with all it? Hey, Trey, we live in a traumatized society now. So what? Well, I can tell you that in the mental health establishment, they're scrambling to create trauma-informed practices and giving people education. Of course, I've got a whole litany of those things on my website that you can learn. And I think that's helpful, but that's only a tiny piece. For the common person who's not a mental health practitioner, just the average Joe, what we must do is realize our patterns related to fear. When are you fearful? What types of environments? What kinds of people? What? It's really about being far more mindful and self-aware, just so you don't get stupid, right? You were talking about road rage. Road rage is just someone who's unaware and they're letting their reaction, which is neurochemical, to take over, right?
Exactly. Trey, I would love to keep going. Our show, though, is over until next time. So, let people know if they want to, they've got trauma, they need to work with somebody that can help them process it. How
Sure.
do they get hold of you?
One main website, treymalicote.com or restorationcoaches.com. Either one of those. I've got a whole series of blog posts, four really fantastic trauma workshops, a couple of classes on Udemy, on power and control, and all the things that have informed our conversation today. Lucy, thanks so much for having me today.
I always love having you on the show, not only as a great friend, but also a wealth of information.
Thank
So
you.
I'll have you back in probably 4 or 5 months. And in the meantime, enjoy your new surroundings. I know
Thank
it's got to
you.
be fun to be able to go out and experience the mountains and everything that goes with that. So enjoy your new
Yes.
life.
Thank you, my dear. See you soon. Thanks again.
You bet.
Bye.
Everybody, please share Trey's show and go out there and make this your best life. We'll see you again next week.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.